Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning. It's wonderful to be here today. And in particular, it's wonderful to sit and to have gone through the readings that we shared this morning. I think the book of Acts is amazing. The irrepressible energy that seized the early followers of Jesus as they picked up the ministry and ran with it, carrying the good news of the gospel from Jerusalem throughout the rest of the entire world, the Roman Empire and the world, is both exciting and energizing. Prior to today's readings, the Apostle Paul had already made one large trip to visit Gentiles, the people that were not normally part of the community, and reported great success in winning them over. And initially, Paul had to overcome internal resistance from the Christian community itself regarding the place of Gentiles. There were a lot of them that didn't want outsiders in the community. They felt that the Jesus movement was for Jewish people only. It wasn't intended for the outsider. The discussion, we'll call it a discussion, it was more like a big argument, but the argument actually led to the first great council of the Christian church, where it was decided that outsiders would be welcome in this new community, which was an important and controversial act of inclusion. And in today's reading, we see this continuing. We see that Paul is actually now on a second great trip, sharing the gospel with anybody who will hear it. And the message that Paul shared, the message that we are to love one another, including those we hate, including those who hate us, and that we are to serve not just those who are higher up the chain than we are, or those that we want to serve, but that we are to serve everyone, was a pretty radical concept at the time. In a society that was defined by who you were and what your place was, the message of the gospel was that instead of looking inward and being separated from the world, instead of being our own community, our Jewish community, and letting the rest of the world do their thing, perhaps being more spiritual in our relationship with God, this Jesus movement was telling believers that they needed to get out and engage. They needed to demonstrate to the entire world that the people of God loved God by loving the things that God loves. And that included everyone. This outward push led to conflicts with religious and political institutions of the day. The new Christian ecclesia, or this new assembly, this new church, was seen as a threat to existing structures of power because it dared before them and tell them they had it wrong. We don't live for a religion. We don't live for an emperor. We live for God. In our reading from Mark today, Jesus left the disciples with a warning that this would not be easy. He warned them that there will be opposition, not just from religious authorities, but from the political authorities as well. But Jesus also tells them not to worry about how to defend themselves. Jesus says, "Say whatever is given you at that time, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit." Jesus tells the disciples to continue to have faith, to trust God and trust the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an invisible string that binds us all together. In our texts today and throughout all of the book of Acts, and even the letters that Paul writes to the different churches in the region, Paul and his team of missionaries and the believers in each one of those communities demonstrate this faith and this courage. They hold to the faith in spite of persecution, in spite of the difficulties that they encounter. They stand up and preach in places, they teach their radical truth in places where they don't really know or have a clear idea what's going to happen. They speak out against idolatry, worship of emperors and wealth, and they bring their message of love and service and salvation to all people. And we know the story. They endure arrest, persecution, torture, and even death in order to proclaim that word. In some ways, Christians in this 21st century face a world that is just about as hostile to that message as the one the early church faced. In Truth and Advertising, we don't face martyrdom with the same frequency that the early leaders did. But we do face opposition. It's not a popular message. One of the reasons that it is perhaps we don't face the same level of persecution is that the church itself is actually part of the norm. It's part of society today. And listen, we live in a society where consumerism, acquisition, and my rights, my needs, my happiness are supreme. And there are many who claim Christian identity who will tell you that God wants us to be successful and wealthy and happy. And all we have to do is say certain prayers, donate to certain causes. Instead of worshiping idols like Baal or Jupiter or Isis, society today worships self-made success stories. We strive to get more money, to buy more stuff, and to keep as much of everything for ourselves as we can. Talk of division, hatred, fear, and greed is everywhere, and it's been normal. Into this comes a global pandemic that has essentially put this entire machine into standby mode, or at the very least has reduced it to a slow crawl. Unable to jump into the fury and jumble of our daily grind, we've been forced to reflect. And reflections, my friends, is a dangerous thing for the status quo. Today is the fourth week of Easter in the year 2020. We are now 4 weeks into the weirdest celebration of the glory of the resurrection of Jesus that most of us living today can remember. In many parts of the world, including the United States, we're starting to think about opening up again. And it's true, eventually we are going to have to get back to normal. But the question is, when we do, when we emerge from isolation and quarantine, what will normal look like? Will we return to rampant consumerism, individualism, and winner-take-all thinking? Will Christians be content to lament the inequities, the greed, the elitism, and the privilege of the system, but not change anything because I didn't create it? Or can the lessons of love and service that we have seen in this time, the giving of essential personnel, will this take root? Will we remember the interdependence that we experience with one another just to survive? Will this help us speak up for the poor, the sick, the hurting, the dying, and the lost? In short, can we who profess the Christian faith recognize that supporting one another in sorrow and grief, as well as in joy and in plenty, is our Christian faith? and speak truth to the world to help create a new normal? Can we recognize the value and the presence of Christ in each and every person we meet? Can we learn to deal and do with enough? Focus less on having more so that others might have a share in the bounty of the world? Can we live to make a difference? I keep thinking about the hymn, Faith of Our Fathers. I grew up listening to that hymn a lot in the church where I grew up. It's a hymn that in recent years has been revised to reflect a much more inclusive emphasis on our faith. But whatever version you know, whatever version you listen to, the central idea behind this hymn is that those who live and suffer and remain true to their faith will triumph over the powers of the world. One of the newer versions that has been, one of the updated versions, you will find in number 813 in the Evangelical Lutheran Worship Book, the Cranberry Book. In it, the final verse reads, "Faith born of God, O call us yet. Bind us with all who follow you, sharing the struggle of your cross until the world is made anew. Faith born of God, O living faith, we will be true to thee till death." My siblings in Christ, we are hearing a trumpet call right now. Listen. In a few minutes, we're going to go through the prayers of intercession, a part of our services that we do every week. Hear what we pray for. Listen to what we're saying. The Holy Spirit is reminding us right now that we are bound together. She's giving us the words that we need to speak and the actions that we need to perform in a time when we are being asked again to help reshape the world. To God be the glory. Amen.
The next thing in our worship